Thank you so much, Sherman. Our scripture this morning is from Psalms 34:13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. And Matthew 12:34, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Well, good morning, happy Sabbath. Before I begin, I do have a kind of a praise, a testimony, and a little plug for our school all in one. I have a daughter that is what they call developmentally disabled. She has some mental issues. She was a blue baby when she was born. She's been in a little bit of trouble lately, and not really of her own accord, and that shall be worked out pretty soon in the court. But this week, those who come to prayer meeting know we've been praying promises and understanding how powerful God's word is. And when you see these promises that I will never leave you or forsake you, or he wishes for none to perish. Well, I got a call this week from what was her teacher back in Spokane Junior Academy in Eastern Washington. And there's teachers and then there's teachers who are missionary spirit, and Judy is one of these. She just retired as the principal teacher up here in Olympia. Some of you may know her. Her mom just died a couple months ago, and she's back in Spokane. Anyways, I got this call from Judy, and she wants to know about Lindsay and where she's at, because now that she's back in Spokane, she'd like to look her up. And her and Lindsay are like this. Judy is the one who discovered, we were told that Lindsay could never get past ninth grade level, and she ended up graduating from high school with some special help. And Judy was the one who discovered that when Lindsay could touch things and do things, she could learn. So she got her an abacus, and all of a sudden her math, she just takes those beads and does whatever she does with them, and she got the math and little blocks for compound words. So my praise is that I would have never expected that, and I've been making a lot of trips lately to Spokane with issues with the children, and the Lord is blessed. So I want to praise, but that Christian education that Lindsay had for the first part of her life was powerful, because that's what changed her course, and by having a teacher with a missionary spirit, she was allowed to learn things that the forensic psychologist said she could never learn, and through the power of God and prayer. So that's my praise and testimony. God is a wonderful God, isn't he? And there's people here today that have hurts in their hearts, too. And this particular message, I'd like you to keep it in the context of personal and corporate revival. There's certain things that we as Christians, when we decided to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and want to be baptized, a disciple is a high calling. It's not something we do when we have time. And there's certain aspects of our Christian walk that are critical, that have everything to do with our salvation and being able to be fit to go to heaven, that our heart is right, and that's what God is looking at, is our hearts. So we need to get right with each other, and we need to get right with God. And the subject matter today is something that all of us may still be struggling with some aspects of it, but I'm sure that all of us have had problems with this. But as we go through it, we'll see. I could have titled it, I thought last night, but it was too late. I could have titled this A Weapon of Mass Destruction, and you'll see what that means. But the bottom line for me, and I believe for you and everyone, is that today is the day of the Lord. None of us are promised tomorrow. So my prayer is that we will have that great desire at least to ask God to make us to be right with each other and with God. The disciples in the upper room, they had to work out a lot of things. And so we're like the disciples before Pentecost, and we're seeking that Pentecost, that fullness of the Holy Spirit, not just a little bit. But we need to empty self, and there's things that we must do for that to happen. And we can't let the devil deceive us. So, as always, these are love messages from God. He gives us so many warnings. He gives us so many promises. What a joy. On our prayer line, I see so many answers to prayers. And sometimes they're not the way that we hope for, but we know that God's in charge and that they're answered the way they needed to be answered. And we have that trust and faith. And so those who are on there that answer that, I just want to thank you again. But I title this The 3-Inch, 2-Ounce Killer. And it definitely is a killer. Everything and every gift from God can be used for good or evil. Do you believe that? We see that. We think a cell phone, what a wonderful invention. Then we find out people use it to detonate bombs. So as we go forward to see what's here, let's bow our heads in prayer, because we need the Holy Spirit's presence. Father God, we invite you again through your Holy Spirit. Father, with all of our hearts and our minds, that all preconceived notions, prejudices, pride, whatever is standing in the way, will be removed, that your Holy Spirit will talk to each of our hearts personally today, that we see the seriousness of it, and that we don't allow Satan to control it anymore, Father. We know there's going to be a spiritual battle here, so bring your angels upon us. Keep Satan and his angels away, in Jesus' name. Amen. Speech, one of the many gifts of God, and through it our thoughts of the heart are communicated. It can be used to convince people, it can persuade, it can comfort, we can bless people with our speech, we can soothe a wounded soul, make known the grace of God. I'm sure there's some of us, if not all of us here, have had people, when we were wounded, have said nice things to us and encouraged us. But it can be used for perverse things that sting like a scorpion. You agree? Amen is okay. It just says you agree. So don't be afraid to say amen if you believe it. Proverbs 18 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Another way it says, words kill, words give life, and they're either poison or they're fruit. And so we need to choose which way we're going to use that tongue. Evil speaking, including criticism, is a serious problem in churches today. And it is. We can look around us. I've not been a Seventh-day Adventist Christian all my life. I was raised Catholic, went through about 20 different denominations in search of, gave up on God for 10 years. But I see the same problems in all the churches that we go because we have the same human beings. And as human beings, we are carnal. But how many people here believe we can overcome? You know, the Bible tells us we have to overcome. 7 times in Revelations 2 and 3, it says, he that overcometh, he that has an ear. Revelation 22, it tells us. And in John, it tells us 3 times. It's not an option. So we will overcome sin if our heart is desiring that. And we'll see how that works in a few minutes. Quote, and again, for those who are new here or haven't seen what's on the PowerPoint, I have all that in print. So afterwards, if you want a copy of this, to check it out, make sure I didn't make mistakes. I'm human, so be a good Berean. Go home and check it out. It's, quote, unchrist-like speech lies at the foundation of 9/10 of all the difficulties that exist in the church. That's 90%. James tells us, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is what? It's in vain. It's useless. James, this is familiar to all of us. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and set on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. But the tongue can no man tame. Now that's important as we go through the rest of this discourse. God is telling us that we cannot tame our tongues. It's unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the fathers, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Kind of makes us a hypocrite, doesn't it? Praise the Lord here and say something bad about this person over here. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings, and my brethren, these things ought not to be. So our tongue is the most powerful weapon, even though the average tongue is only 3 inches long and weighs about 2 ounces. I'm trusting the medical world for that as I researched that several years ago. But with all the steroids and stuff, maybe the tongues have gotten bigger these days. I don't know. The tongue is a little member, but the words it utters have great power, either for good or for evil. Do you agree with that? Again, think in the context of revival. We're to uplift Jesus. And so criticizing and cutting down and all that negative stuff is not doing what we're supposed to do. Matthew tells us, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs tells us, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Boy, how true that is. We're going to look at some of the one another's in the Bible. The one another's in the Bible, as you're going to see, with the majority of them have to say, are nice positive things. You're going to see things that aren't there. But let's take a quick look at a few of these. Of the 41 mentions of the one another's in the New Testament, 36 mention to us to either love one another, edify one another, comfort one another, prefer one another, admonish one another, salute one another, greet one another, service one another, forbear one another, forgive, exhort, consider, greet, excuse, receive, not to judge one another. 14 of the 36 refer to love one another, 3 on forgiving one another. So we can see that that's a serious message that God is asking all of us to come to in our personal families, in our church, and as we witness in the world, as we do God's calling, we need a heart change. Quote, one of Christ's last commands to his disciples was, love one another as I have loved you. If we have in any way grieved or wounded others, it's our duty to confess our fault and seek for reconciliation. This is an essential preparation that we may come before God in faith to ask his blessing. As we'll see in the scriptures, it's a must if we want to be with the Lord for eternity. It's about our heart. Everything we do is about our hearts. It's not so much that God has this checklist every day and he says, well, Mike, you did 3 good things, 4 bad things, you're out. It's not this love me, loves me not thing. It's about, do I have a heart that wants to be right with God? That's what you have to ask yourself. And the Bible is very clear that we are to examine ourselves all the time. It's not once and that's a good deal. We're continually looking at ourselves. And what are some of the obstacles that get in the way? What's the biggest obstacle of us even growing in Christ or asking for forgiveness? Pride, right? And we're going to see that pride hides itself in many, many different forms. John tells us, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I loved you. That you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And so one of the strongest evidence of true conversion is our love to God and man. Much of this world lives in a hopeless condition. And we have a hopeful promise to give them, don't we? We have a message that takes people from hopelessness to hopefulness, if we're right with God. And our tongue is just a powerful weapon. And we're going to either use it for Satan or we're going to use it for God. If we don't use it for God, we're using it for Satan by default. Refrain from evil speaking. Scripture warns us. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Titus 3:2, to speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Peter tells us, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. And what is guile? Deceitful, cunning, slyness. So we see again, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile, all deceitfulness, all this stuff, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. So much about our voice in the Bible. What we're to do with it. James, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This is one of the biggest issues, I believe, when we were told that 90%. Pride gets in the way. We look at people and we think, I need to ask forgiveness, or you feel that you need to receive forgiveness from somebody. And if we have ill thoughts toward a person, it makes it even harder, and the devil will play on that. But it's a must. I'll give you the testimony for me. We said earlier that no man can tame the tongue. That's exactly right. And I'll submit to you today that forgiveness and asking for forgiveness is a gift from God. Because the carnal nature, with my ex-wife, it took me 12 years. It took 12 years of battling with the Lord, being frustrated, losing the joy of the Lord. Because when you're angry or you have an unforgiving spirit, it will take the joy of the Lord out of your heart. And you take that baggage with you wherever you go. It just owns you. And God says, let it go. I want to give this beautiful gift to you. And if you let him, he took me to the place where I could finally learn how to separate the sin from the sinner. And that's what it's really about. We hear these scriptures that they're almost a cliche. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and for God so loved the world. But they're not cliches. They're promises. They're words. And when you forgive, if you haven't experienced it and you're having problems with somebody in the home, in the church, or family, you need to fix it. When you do, I promise you, you'll just feel a weight go off your shoulders. It's unbelievable. And the joy of the Lord starts coming back into your heart. But these are things that will stop us, and pride will get in the way. And it's so important that we confess our faults one to another. It's so important that if there's anybody here today that has an ill feeling toward another brother and sister in this church or anywhere, you need to make it right with God, because God is looking at our hearts. And how many here can raise their hand confidently to know 100% sure that they will wake up tomorrow morning? Nobody has that guarantee. Now, if I asked the probability, we probably all would raise our hands. We all probably say, how many times I'll see you tomorrow? By God's grace, I'll see you tomorrow. So make your heart right today with God. quote, in one moment, by the hasty, passionate, careless tongue may be wrought evil that a whole lifetime's repentance cannot undo. Oh, the hearts that are broken, the friends estranged, the lives wrecked by the harsh, hasty words of those who might have brought help and healing. And we do. God made us emotional creatures, but our mind has to control the emotions. We can't let our emotions control our minds, or we're in trouble. And how true that is. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Not the gossipers or the critics, but the peacemakers are the children of God. And that word blessed in Greek means happy. Happy are the peacemakers. Satan will put into our minds evil thoughts that should never be spoken. And how many words are spoken that do only harm? I've had a lot of asking forgiveness over these issues. Hard words beat us up, and evil speaking grieves away the Holy Spirit. And we're called as disciples of Christ. We're saying that the old man must die, and we have to be born again. So the question is, what is my relationship with the Lord? So if I come in to the church, or I come to Jesus Christ, am I coming in through a love relationship with the Lord? Am I seeing that I have a need for Christ in my life? And then we as a body of believers, we're a family of God. Do you agree? We're a family of God. You can say amen. Are you a family of God? Everybody here wants to go to heaven for eternity. So how can we say that if we have something against a brother or sister here and not make it right? How can we go to heaven and take it with us? It's a matter of the heart. We can't let Satan control us. The ears must not be defiled by listening to any gossip that fault-finding ones would have us hear. For I not only cause them to sin in allowing them to talk of other faults, but I sin myself in listening to them. You know, fire feeds fire, so to speak. So how do we stop this evil speaking? But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So in other words, by beholding we become changed. That's how we paraphrase that. Serious quote. I urge our people to cease their criticism and evil speaking. Now I want to qualify it. When we say evil, if I asked everybody here, what do you consider evil? We probably come up with several different degrees of evil. But in God's eye, would you agree that any sin is evil? Would you agree to that? Now we know that certain sins have bigger consequences and affect more people than others. I don't deny that. You know, somebody who has an adulterous affair on more people has a bigger effect than somebody that steals a candy bar every week, knows it's wrong to do. But in the end, if they both cherish that, they keep continuing that, they don't want to get rid of it in their life, they're going to end up in the same lake of fire. Do you agree? Sin is sin, and it's all evil to God. And so sometimes we may think that evil speaking is if I cussed at somebody, or I just said a harsh thing, but it could be other things. We can say the truth in the wrong spirit. Do you agree with that? And that can be evil, because most people know plastic from real when they see it. So she says, I urge our people to cease their criticism and evil speaking. Go to God in earnest prayer, asking Him to help them, to help the erring. An earnest effort should be made in every church to put away evil speaking in a censorious spirit. Severity and fault-finding must be rebuked as the work of Satan. Mutual love and confidence must be encouraged and strengthened in the members of the church. Let all close their ears to gossip and censure. Direct the talebearer to the teaching of God's word. We would just take God's counsel with Matthew. Just that one thing, that when somebody has a fault, you just redirect them and say, go talk to the person. Just that one thing, you would see major changes. And we have to ask ourselves, I don't know the history of this church, only a few things that I've heard, but I heard it was pretty big at one time. And I know the churches that I've been associated with had the same problems. At one time they were this size, and now they're dwindled down to 30, 40 people. And we have to ask ourselves why. Are we using our tongue the right way? Are we teaching them of the love of Christ? Are we helping them? Are we coming out of our comfort zones? Because how many here think you can be a Christian and stay in a comfort zone? It doesn't work that way. It's not a convenient lifestyle a lot of the times. Let all who believe the truth for this time put away their differences. And that's what the disciples did in the upper room. Put away envy and evil speaking and evil thinking. Press together. Press together. When they had their upper room experience, They worked out all these differences. Remember, they were worried who was going to sit at the right hand of God prior to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But we see a whole different set of disciples. They allowed Christ to come in fully into their lives. So latter rain in the church, does speaking have anything to do with that? The church will never, as a whole, receive the latter rain unless they shall put away all envy, evil surmising, and evil speaking. It has to be done. There must be a spiritual awakening. In every church, there should be stated seasons for united prayer for the advancement of this work. Only through earnestly seeking for the infilling of the Holy Spirit can we be changed and our tongues be tamed. Our carnal nature cannot do this work. And it cannot do it, brothers and sisters. And there's sins that we enjoy. We've learned a lot of things. The way I was brought up, I learned a lot of things that weren't right according to God, but we thought they were right. And then God shows you these things. And so that carnal nature is always at battle with the spiritual nature. But we need to submit. And I behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. So, is there no time to pray? Is there no time to tell the Lord, thou must keep me by thy own power? Again, as we examine ourselves as true disciples of Christ, first of all, we have to ask ourselves, what is a true disciple of Christ? Am I a true disciple of Christ? I've asked this question before, and I keep asking myself this time to time. And now that we have a monthly newsletter and a calendar on there, the question is this: if I'm a true disciple of Jesus Christ, is my life based around the church, or do I base the church around my life? In other words, if I don't have something else going on, I'll attend a church function. Or do I look at a calendar and say, all right, I need to calendar this in, I need to support the church, or whatever the case may be. Don't take me wrong, I'm not saying that everybody has to go to everything all the time, but we can go to a lot of things a lot of the time. The point is the church our life? Does it mean something to us? So prayer is a necessity. It is the life of the soul. What is prayer? In the simplest form, what is prayer? What was that? Talking to God. Exactly. But the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. And so as we study prayer in the Bible, as we grow closer to the Lord, we see there's so many different types of prayers for different things, just like there's different music. There's music for victory, there's music for battle, it goes on, worship, etc. Peter tells us, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So isn't it in its simplest forms, if I call myself a Christian, I'm to follow Jesus Christ. So would it make sense that I would study Jesus' life and see what Jesus did and what Jesus has asked us to do, what he has commanded us to do? And then when I see that, wow, that's a big bill, Lord, then hopefully we all see, I have a need for you because I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. I need you. And so what did Jesus do? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so as to be our life and our voice for us. Not like Niagara Falls, where we still got a big empty gap. We need that thing to be filled. Our Holy Spirit, our body needs to be filled with the Spirit. Prayer is the power that moves the arm of God. And what a wonderful thought that no matter what's going on in this world, by our tongue, we have access to the King of the universe, and he will move all of heaven. And I don't know how many angels there are, but he will move all of heaven on our behalf according to his will. I don't know about you, but that's pretty powerful. And prayer is the power that moves the arm of God. Prayer is the only means by which we can receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, finish the work we vowed to do when we chose to become disciples of Christ. The Lord is calling us. He's been calling for 2,000 years for his people to return to him in fullness. Worship in obedience. That's what it's about. In the Garden of Eden, what happened there? It wasn't because they took some fruit from the tree. They disobeyed God. They looked at it and they had the selfish desire. They knew in their heart what God wanted because they went and hid, so we know that they knew they did wrong. Yet Satan deceived them. Sin entered in, and now we inherit that. But we also inherit Jesus Christ. That's the good news. And people need to know that out there. There are no shortcuts to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We all get it the same way, personally and corporately. I don't get it any different way than anybody else does. We need to be seeking it as an individual. And he taught, saying unto them, it is not written, my house shall be called of all nations, the house of prayer. Following in Jesus' footsteps, we will see that, and this is crucial for each one of us. If you don't get anything today, get this. Following in Jesus' footsteps, we will see that he never spoke to man before he spoke to his Father. How crucial is that? Scriptures tell us he spent nights in prayer. He was in constant communion with his Father. He was always prepared for battle before the battle came. How crucial is that? We are Christian soldiers, are we not? We need to be prepared for battle too. We just can't go out and then say, oh, okay, it'll happen. Doesn't work that way. Jesus was always prepared. People like to excuse and say, well, he was God. Well, I submit to you, Jesus came to the earth as a human being. He was born as a baby. He lived a life in a human. Yes, he was God, but he overcame. He was a human being that overcame. He showed us how to overcome. And here he stayed in constant communion with his Father. We need to learn that lesson. What does it mean to constantly be in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, talking to the Lord? Maybe that's why we're told to pray without ceasing and to continue steadfastly in prayer, as Thessalonians and Romans tell us. We are to speak of the great commission commanded to us in Matthew. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's a promise. The question is, will Mike Mallinson be among those that are going with the Lord on the first resurrection? And you need to ask yourselves the same question. Is your heart 100% right with God today? 100%. 99 is not going to be good enough for us. Jesus gave all for us. We have to get a heart that's willing to give all for him. And again, I submit, without allowing Christ to come in us and work through us, being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's just not going to happen. We are carnal. We're going to be like Peter. I'll never deny you. And the first time he gets challenged, I don't know him. Not a good place to be. We are to speak and share the love, grace, and mercy of our Lord and Savior. The righteousness of Christ will not cover one cherished sin. Do you agree with that? I cherish a sin. I'm not talking about struggling with a sin, but cherishing. I really like this sin, and God loves me, so I can be presumptuous and not worry about it. That's not a good, safe place to be, I don't believe. A closing thought and promise in Matthew. Brood of vipers. He's talking to me now. You can put your own name in there if you like. Mike, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So as we see ourselves growing closer to the Lord, and we use words like sanctification as we're becoming more like Christ, in our examination, hopefully we look back to see how far we've come too. We had a lot of ways to go, but sometimes Satan can beat us up, and at least he beats me up at times if I allow it, saying, how many times you have to ask forgiveness? Well, Jesus answered that question, didn't he? I have to ask as many times as I need to ask until I get the battle won and that I allow Christ in my life, not to give up, to have faith. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. That word idle in Greek means useless and lazy. Depending on the context of the scriptures, there's like 6 or 7 scriptures where that word idle shows up. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Your future is now. My future is now. So my prayer again, brothers and sisters, is that we see the seriousness of the gifts that God gave us and how to use them for his glory. When James tells us, you know, we ask but we receive not because we ask amiss. That word amiss means for our own self-use. Our prayers are supposed to be to show God's glory. When we hear testimonies, it's to show how great and loving a God we have, not what good thing I did or you did. We got people out there that are homeless. We got people out there in this community that are contemplating suicide. We've got alcoholics. We got drug addicts. And those people in those situations are hopeless. And we sit here with a message that says, come up to us. Come to this hospital for sinners. And that's where we have to be right with God. As they come in the doors, my prayer and I hope is that when we see what we would consider, quote, despondent people walking through the doors, that we're saying, praise the Lord, another soul is coming to the altar of grace. That's our part, is it not? I am no better than anybody else. You think my sins are better than yours, Sue, or Dave, or anybody else's? My sins are no better than anybody's. So by God's grace, by his love, we shall get there. And I just pray that our hearts will be right, because it's a serious issue. We should be lifting up Christ to people. He says that, if I be lifted up, it will draw all men unto me. It's pretty simple. So we just have to get our priorities right. We have to examine ourselves, ask the Lord, each of us personally, Lord, what do I need to get? How much pride do I still have in my life? And I guarantee you, if you do that, you're going to find you got more pride than you think you do. It just hides under a lot of masks. We don't consider it pride until we get deep with it. Let us pray. Father God, thank you again for your word. Thank you for your precious promises. Thank you for this church family here, Father. I have been so blessed by this family, and others have been blessed. And yet, Father, we got a long way to go. We need to fill this church again with your glory, Father. So I pray that each of us will be seeking that fullness of the Holy Spirit, that we'll understand how important prayer is, communicating with you on a constant basis. That our hearts will have that empathy that only you can put in it, Father. That when we see people on the street, that our heart cries for them, Lord. And that we don't cuss them and we don't say negative things. And above all, Father, anybody here today that your Holy Spirit's talking to, if they need forgiveness or ask forgiveness, I pray that they will drop that pride, be a humble spirit, and come and ask forgiveness to whoever. And may our thoughts be purified by your grace and your love. As we go forward the rest of this day, Father, we just ask that everything we do and say will be pleasing to you. And we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you, Father God, for your gift of your Son. Thank you for all the gifts that you've given us. Thank you that each one here today woke up. We're able to hear the birds sing and see the wonders of your love. And Father, again, as we go, we just continue to ask that your Holy Spirit will work on each of our hearts, that we truly will surrender all, that we will have that burning desire that only you can put in our hearts, that this will be the year that this church will be known as the one who brought salvation to Sutherland. In Jesus' holy name, amen.